Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here as we join the death watch of the Biden campaign. It's become brutal in the last little while. Lloyd Dodgett of Texas, who represents the district LBJ had in Congress, is saying just like LBJ, Joe Biden needs to get out of the race. Good luck. And now suddenly we're getting the flood of stories. They can't keep it quiet, and a lot of journalists have to pretend they didn't know either, even though they did. Remarkable. The phone number here is 877-973-7425. I myself will take your phone calls shortly, but first, I got to talk to you about a different story. Do y'all remember Heidi Presbyla, the idiot at Politico who went on TV and said that Christian nationalists, they're not like Christians. In fact, you know what, Philip, if you're listening, I think I'm going to record my video here because I think it's that important that you guys understand what's at stake here. So this reporter, Heidi, what's her name? Presbyla. She's written a piece in Politico, attacking the United States Supreme Court. Now, if y'all don't recall, this is the dim-witted genius who went on MSNBC and said this.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalist is very different, is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
This woman, that genius, the woman who said Christian nationalists, not Christians, Christian nationalists believe our rights. They don't come from Congress or the Supreme Court, but they come from God. Therefore, the founders of this country must be Christian nationalists. Every Christian everywhere who believes our rights come from God must be a Christian nationalist. She has axes to grind and is tending to grind them. Let me read you Heidi Presbyla's recent stories. D.C. Attorney General closes investigation to Arabella advisors. What happens when an AG dares to investigate Leonard Leo's network? The right way to cover the intersection of religion and politics. Trump allies prepare to infuse Christian nationalism into the second administration. Public Christian schools, Leonard Leo's allies advance a new cause. Judiciary Democrats call for stronger transparency on amicus brief funding. Plain historical falsehoods, how amicus briefs bolstered Supreme Court conservatives. Leonard Leo firm receives $21 million from Leo-linked group. Leonard Leo's firm got nearly $500,000 from conservative nonprofits. Tax filing shows she's clearly working, peddling press releases and doing the bidding of the left when it comes to attacking conservatives on the Supreme Court. Notice that every single story she's written about the courts has been an attack on the right and a defense of the left. What's so interesting is she now has this story about Arabella Associates or Arabella whatever it is, advisors, funding a left-wing group to take on the Supreme Court. Here's her story. Demand Justice, a progressive judicial advocacy group, is mounting a major effort to advocate for Supreme Court reforms and prepare for the effects of a second Trump administration. According to a plan first shared with Politico, the group intends to spend $10 million by the end of this year on a range of activities, from conducting opposition research on potential Supreme Court picks to advocating for ethics reforms for the High Court. It will also work to mobilize key constituencies affected by the court's decisions, including women and young people, and to call out a network of far-right judicial activists that laid the groundwork for the conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court. Demand justice wants to elevate the court as a major issue in 2024. This is a press release for Demand Justice. This is a reporter at Politico who has written hostily, not even trying to hide her biases about conservatives. She's written attack pieces on Leonard Leo, and yet she's pretending that this is a progressive judicial advocacy group. She's pretending that this is just some sort of innocuous group, and it's not. It's funded by Arabella Partners. Now, and notice, she ran a story. DCAG, who's a far-left activist, closed his investigation into Arabella Advisors. What is Arabella Advisors? You need to understand what Arabella Advisors is. Arabella is a vast fundraising network for the Democrats where money goes into Arabella Advisors, and they circulate it among left-wing groups. Founded in 2005 as a kind of facilitator for tax-exempt organizations and charitable donors, Arabella provides backdoor functions for nonprofits, including legal advices, human resources, accounting, and the like. One of its services is helping donors maintain their anonymity. There are many legitimate reasons why charitable donors seek to remain anonymous. Sometimes it's rooted in humility. Other times they want to avoid being hit up for other donations. When it comes to political giving, they may not want a court controversy. Arabella is a dark money juggernaut. Through its constellation of nonprofits, it brought in close to $3 billion in dark money in 2022. The behemoth in the Arabella network, the 1630 Fund, raised nearly $380 million. Arabella Advisors has spent more money in the political process than any of the groups on the right. Have you heard that? Do you know that? Because they are obsessed, the left is, with talking about how much money the right is pouring into politics. In fact, Arabella Advisors has spent orders of magnitude more from the left, and we don't know who their donors are. It is suspected they have funded some of these pro-Palestinian protests. It's suspected they funded the Black Lives Matter protests, but we don't know where all the money comes from. We have to trust that it comes from American citizens and not foreigners trying to interfere. We're just supposed to trust this. It's absurd. Arabella Advisors, this is from CBS News. Arabella Advisors created a group called Impetus. Arabella Advisors, which oversees a web of nonprofits that today funnels more dark money into American elections and political causes than any on either side of the political divide. And Politico's Heidi Prisbyla, she writes this piece about this Demand Justice group as if it's some innocuous good government group. She never mentions that it's funded by Arabella Advisors, and I assure you she knows it. She may be stupid because she doesn't know what Christians are versus Christian nationalists, but she's spoon-fed enough information, and she's reporting this as if she has no idea where it comes from. Now, what I find very notable here is that she was willing to cover Arabella Advisors and that the D.C. Attorney General says there's nothing here to see. But she's run 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces attacking Leonard Leo and conservative groups, shadowy money groups. But nothing about Arabella Advisors that she casted the same way. This is an organized attack through this reporter who's just a stenographer for the left. And you can clearly see she's not very smart, nor is she grounded in any sort of information. She's just spoon-fed and regurgitates. She's a stenographer and a Muppet. Someone has their hand up her backside, moving her lips and banging her keyboard for her as she's given the press credit. It's very clear that she's not bright enough and only does what the left spoon-feeds her with her axe to grind, given the contents of what she's doing. And shame on Politico for having someone clearly this biased, clearly this partisan, clearly this hostile to the right, who's unwilling to give them a fair hearing, even as she does cover work. But this is all part of the quiet insurrection. You see, the left wants you to look at what's happened with the right, and they want you to look at January 6th, and they want you to look at the protesters. They want you to look at all that. Pay no attention to these sorts of things. They're spending $10 million to try to discredit the Supreme Court. They're attacking an institution of the American government with anonymous donors. We don't even know if they're foreign or domestic donors. They're trying to discredit and undermine the United States Supreme Court with anonymous donations and a group of reporters taking advantage of the First Amendment to be able to smear the Supreme Court on behalf of these anonymous donors. That sounds very insurrectionary. It sounds very unstable. The Democrats have lectured us about the Supreme Court. They've lectured us about shadow groups on the right. They've lectured us about foreign interference. They've lectured us about Russian interference. We don't know who's interfering. We know they've got a lot of money. We know they spend more money than all other groups on the left and right in politics. We don't know who the donors are. Could be the Chinese. Could be the Russians. We don't know. They don't disclose it. They just signed the certification saying, oh, yeah, we promised they're legit. Trust us. And Politico regurgitates their talking points. To cast doubt on the Supreme Court, they're going to spend money attacking the Supreme Court, an unelected group. They're going to spend money trying to delegitimize court decisions that they don't like. And they have their stenographers in the press telling us it's okay, that this is good, that it's just about reform. They try to undermine any institution they do not control. Not very democratic, is it? Not very supportive of the Republican ideals of this country when you have to use shadow groups with anonymous donors to do it. They brag about transparency. They attack the right for lacking transparency, and they don't want to be transparent. And they're using this reporter to do it. This reporter has gone on television and smeared all Christians as Christian nationalists for believing their rights come from God. And right before the 4th of July, where we celebrate the Declaration of Independence, that says we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, we should note that she has never corrected the record on that. She's never apologized for this mirror. In fact, when I politely pointed it out, she blocked me on social media. And now she's serving as a stenographer for a left-wing group to attack the one functioning branch of government. Because remember what this is for her and for the left, it's about power. They got to undermine the Supreme Court because they don't control the Supreme Court. They don't get their way from the Supreme Court. So they have to attack the Supreme Court. This is a well-orchestrated insurrectionary campaign in the shadows to destabilize and discredit the one functioning branch of the American government because the left does not control it. At the end of the day, their outrage over the Trump immunity decision, their outrage over the Luper Bright decision, their outrage over the decision yesterday on the Federal Reserve, all of them are about power. That's the only rational, coherent nexus of logic is that this is about they don't like the Supreme Court gutting the institutions they control, so they must gut the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court over the last week has said the presidency and the executive branch bureaucracy are too powerful. They must cede their power back to Congress, and they're attacking the Supreme Court for that because it's about the power. And this stenographer at the Politico is their lead parrot, their lead Muppet. And I would like to know which group it is that has their arm up her backside causing her to bang away at the keyboard and mouth off nonsense on MSNBC because she's very clearly working on an agenda. She's not actually an objective reporter. And anyone who thinks otherwise should just look at what she writes and the way she writes it. If she was objective, she would be pointing out that this group that wants to undermine the Supreme Court with $10 million is from a shadowy left-wing group. And instead, she's used this piece to attack conservatives yet again. There should be accountability at Politico for this, and there won't be because Politico, just like they covered for Joe Biden, is in on this as well. The press corps increasingly is the enemy of freedom.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I am going to go to Gary. Welcome, sir. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm great.
Leading up to the debate, I heard them all claiming they're going to fact check Donald Trump about this and that and everything, little thing he said. So I know that when Donald Trump sneezes, he lied about it. But all through the debate, the only thing I saw was that Joe Biden's got dementia. Anybody that didn't know that didn't want to know it because it's apparent. The one news story I've seen that nobody has said anything about is when Donald Trump accused Joe Biden of bringing these immigrants in here and giving them Social Security and Medicare. They didn't say one thing about he was lying.
Right. Yeah, look, this is part of the problem with the press is they're so obsessed with Donald Trump lies. They don't want to cover Joe Biden's lies. It is their presumption and essentially their padding of things to claim that Joe Biden is somehow honest and Donald Trump's not. And Joe lies repeatedly about the border. He's lied about Medicare, Medicaid funding. He lied about no soldiers dying on his watch. And now they say, well, it's not that he lied. It's just he forgot. He doesn't remember. That's the three-card Monty they're playing with Joe Biden's brain right now. It's not that he's a liar. It's that he's got dementia. Oh, that makes it better. I mean, that really is part of the problem we're dealing with as a country right now is we have a dishonest press that has covered for Joe Biden because they are so media knew all along. I mean, you got Carl Bernstein, now Woodward and Bernstein fame, admitting people in the White House have been telling him for 18 months that something wasn't right with Joe Biden. And he's been on TV a lot in those 18 months, and he has said absolutely nothing to anyone because of it. It's been a cover-up. Biden's support, by the way, among Democrats in polling has inched up. They're starting to circle and rally. He's now got 91% support, up from 85% in April. 93% of Republicans back Trump. That really hasn't changed. The problem is there's been a huge shift towards independent voters, towards Donald Trump. And there's nothing they can do about it. And the remarkable thing now is how, you know who the latest to blame is? CNN. Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, they set up Joe Biden to fail. Dana Bash and Jake Tapper, they're the ones who did it. Joe Biden wanted the debate at CNN. He wanted them to be the debate moderators. He wanted the venue. He wanted the date. He wanted the rules. He got everything he wanted, and somehow they're to blame. They can't spin this. Nobody's buying it anymore. Now, I got to tell you about Americans for Prosperity. They are not buying that we can't solve the border problems at the border. We can, and you can help. You can go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. My friends at Americans for Prosperity, they've set up this great website for you to find all the solutions about the border, how to fix the border problems, conservative solutions, and you can get involved and push your members of Congress to help. All you have to do is go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com, brought to you by Americans for Prosperity, and find out about AFP. They're a great conservative group doing the work of the conservative movement in the various states. Go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com today and partner with Americans for Prosperity in advancing common sense conservative solutions to secure the American border. It's all there on the website, SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. So I have a confession. I'm going to say this on air, and I shouldn't, but I'm going to. I am in my late 40s, and I'm playing golf this afternoon with a friend and a friend of his. And y'all, I'm like a nervous school kid because, like, I don't have the best golf game, and they're good golfers, and it's one of these prestigious fancy places, the capital city or some such north of me. and it's like a nice golf club. And I don't play nice golf clubs because, well, I'm not that great. But so why am I nervous? I mean, they know I'm not bad, but I am nervous. I did bring a nice box of cigars just in case. But I'm like, am I going to get like the flu and have to bail on this game so I don't embarrass myself in front of good golfers? I'm going to play. I'm going to have fun. Nonetheless, this is why I don't play with other people. I only play by myself and with a handful of select friends, only one of whom is, well, okay, two. One's good. One's actually really great, but he's also a golf coach. But he just had a baby, so he can't play golf. He doesn't come visit anymore. Nonetheless, I'll endeavor to do good. Now, shall we go to the phones for a moment, please? Let us go to Lou. You're going to be up next. Welcome, Lou. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How are you, sir?
Great.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know you're leaving out one person.
What's that?
We got all the focus on Trump and got all the focus on Biden. But we've forgotten one person, and that is Trump's vice president selection.
Yeah, that's a good point. That, you know,
I just wanted your opinion on that, sir.
So first of all, I hope Donald Trump doesn't announce his VP pick anytime soon. They got to by the convention. We're coming up at the end of this month. It's going to be the Republican convention. About 2 weeks left. He's got to announce it. But don't do anything this week. Let Joe Biden self-immolate on the national stage. And then if Trump picks someone that people like, that gives him a real boost. And
yes.
I'll tell you, this is why I'm hemming and hawing here, Lou. My gut is telling me, based on things I've seen and heard, that it might be Doug Burgum. And I don't have anything against Doug Burgum. I just don't think he's a pick that does much.
Right.
But you get him. So if you get J.D. Vance, you've galvanized young men, I think. You get Marco Rubio. You get suburban women. You get Tim Scott. You get younger black men. I don't think Burgum gives him much, but all the signs are starting to point to him, and I hope that's not the case. But you're going to get real momentum. So you don't do anything right now. You let Joe Biden self-immolate. When that story starts to wind down, then you give the people a great vice presidential candidate, and you put that person in contrast to Kamala Harris. Oh, my gosh, it's even better. This is why I realize I'm biased on the Tim Scott front. But you get Kamala Harris, who descends from a family of slave owners, against Tim Scott, who descends from a family of slaves, who has this optimistic, upbeat vision of America. Oh, my gosh. It's just going to be brutal. It's going to be absolutely brutal. All right. Next, Brian, you're up. Welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted your take on Mr. Green Party. Ralph Nader, he penned a letter to the Biden judge in New York, saying that he's like the last hope to save the republic by he must sentence him to jail to serve jail time.
You know, I honestly think the odds probably go up. The future of the United States will be materially influenced by your sentencing Donald John Trump. He was found guilty of 34 felonies under New York law, twice found guilty of violating your constitutionally irreproachable gag order to protect trial participants from death threats, harassment, defamation, and stalking. Basically, it's open and shut based on character and offender alone to send him to jail. Yeah, I don't think their judge is going to be persuaded by this. I think the judge is already committed to sending him to jail. I mean, this is a man who gave money to a fund he's not supposed to, designated stop Donald Trump and his right-wing legacy. If he can send him to jail, he will. The problem with sending Donald Trump to jail, however, is that no one in the history of this statute under which Donald Trump was charged has ever gone to jail. It would be outside the anomaly. But this shows you how authoritarian Ralph Nader's never been big on democracy. He's a would-be authoritarian. And I just don't think that the Democrats are as committed to democracy as they say. They're only saying that to try to scare people. That's it. Michael, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hope you're doing good, and I hope your wife is recovering from her accident.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, she went to the gym today. But, yeah, for those of you who didn't hear, my wife dropped a barbell, and it bounced and landed on her toe. She broke three of her toes. She has had enough of the pain, I'll tell you that.
As if she didn't have enough problems. But anyway,
yeah.
I have two questions. And well, you brought that up. I have two questions. They're both related to the performance or lack thereof of Biden. Number one, how does his performance impact the House and Senate races? And number two, are the Democrats making on the voters having a short memory of forgetting this performance when it comes time to vote in November? And I'll hang up and listen for your
All
answer
right.
again.
Sure.
I'm glad your wife is doing better.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. So, yeah, I mean, the Democrats are starting to freak out about down-ballot races. They really are. Biden is underperforming them, but they're starting to come down. There are some of these races that are too close, Nevada in particular, Ohio. The Democrats are underperforming as Biden drags things down. They're really worried about those races and the lack of excitement from Democrats. They're worried about turnout. If Democrats aren't excited about Biden, they might not turn out, and that's going to cost them some races. And then the other is, in addition to the Senate and the voters' memory, the voters, they may have a short attention span, but just consider this. Last night, Biden had that press conference. Well, it wasn't a press conference. He just spoke in front of the press. And he spoke on a teleprompter, and all you could do was remember how bad his debate performance was without a teleprompter. Every time Joe Biden now has a flub, people are going to be reminded of it, and it becomes so self-reinforcing, it's harder and harder to get over. David, you're up next. Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm great.
Quick question. You don't mention him very often. When you do, you're not usually in favor of him for a vice presidential candidate. But what is your opposition to Vivek Ramaswamy?
Well, I'm not a big fan of his, to be honest with you, but that, regardless of my position, Donald Trump has already said that he will not consider Vivek to be vice president. So,
okay.
Yeah, Trump has actually said that publicly, and Vivek has confirmed it. Actually, he confirmed it last week at the CNN debate, saying that he and the president had not spoken, and he does not expect to be the vice presidential candidate.
I think it's a big mistake. They're both self-made men, businessmen, not professional politicians, and it would be a good chance for Vivek to actually apprentice under a master.
Perhaps, although there's so much unexplored opposition research on Vivek that would come out. I honestly, my personal opinion is he comes across as schmarmy, way too schmarmy, and he could actually make Kamala Harris look better by being on the ticket, but it's not going to happen. I mean, Trump has explicitly precluded the idea of him becoming the vice president. Now, look, we could spend all day on this stuff and your favorite candidate and why does he pick this person? Why did he pick that person? I don't know who he's going to pick. What I do know is he has vetted J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, Doug Burgum, and a couple of other people, and that's it. They're not looking at other people off that list as far as I know, so I don't think it's going to happen. And we can play the would you shoulda, maybe he should go with this guy or that guy and build a coalition out. Maybe he should go with Nikki Haley. That's one of the ones I keep hearing. That's not going to happen. He's explicitly ruled that out. He's ruled out Vivek, and he's ruled out Nikki Haley publicly. And the ones he's looking at are Scott and Rubio and Vance and Burgum and Ben Carson he's looked at as well. So that's it. He's not looking at Kristi Noem. She kind of, well, shot her dog in the foot with that one. So he's moved on from her as well. Elise Stefanik is on the list, but she's not going to be considered based on conversations I've had that I can't repeat on air because they're just not polite. But nonetheless, so we can move on from the VP speculation. It's just unless you have opinions on Burgum, Scott, Rubio, Vance, that's kind of the list. But there's a lot more out there, including the New York Times. Yes, yes. The New York Times continues to be in meltdown mode over not just the Supreme Court decision, but the presidency of Joe Biden. Michelle Goldberg is one of their left-wing writers. Though Joe Biden's debate performance last week was among the most painful things I've ever witnessed, it at least seems to offer clarity. Suddenly, Even many people who love this president realize that his campaign has become untenable. For years, loyal Democrats have been suppressing their private anxiety about Biden's decline. In the debate's miserable aftermath, there was finally space to acknowledge the obvious. Biden is too old for this. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced, James Baldwin wrote. The Democratic Party's predicament is an awful one, but there was a cold, flinty relief in being forced to reckon with it. Y'all, they have been able to reckon with Joe Biden's performance for a very long time, and they chose not to reckon with it. They chose not to welcome or not to reckon with it. And now, of course, the problem is Joe Biden, on teleprompter a few moments ago, continues to make mistakes that don't reassure people.
Later this summer, my administration will convene the first ever White House summer on extreme heat, bringing together state, local, tribal, and territorial leaders and international partners who are protecting communities and workers from extreme weather every single solitary day.
The White House summer on extreme heat. He's going to bring people together for the White House summer on extreme heat. It was supposed to be a White House conference on extreme heat, but instead it's a White House summer of extreme heat on extreme heat. That's Joe Biden on teleprompter. You've already seen him. One more, I got to say.
Now I want to turn it over to Clint Osborne, director of the acting director of D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency, to tell you what his team's incredible work is doing on the front lines for extreme weather events. Where are you, pal? Right behind you.
Where are you, pal? He gets softer and stammers more at the end as he comes to y'all. This isn't good. Okay. My apologies to those of you on hold. I want to move on from the VP talk and the Biden talk. There's other stuff I want to talk about. We could talk about this all day, but there's so much other stuff we're missing out there, and I want to move on to that stuff. But first, I want to tell you about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack. You can get three of them for less than $200. You can save $200. All you do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, discount code ERIC3, ERICK3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in ERIC3, you can get three of them. They're air purifiers, so they get rid of the dust, they get rid of the pollen, but they also eliminate odors. They eliminate musty odors, the sulfurous odors of, well, the progressives coming through. They eliminate litter box odors, smoke odors, you name it. I've used them in hotel rooms. I've used them in rental cars. They're small. You can travel with it in your travel bag. You can get three of them for upstairs, downstairs, your basement, your RV, your travel bag, wherever you need them. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3. And they're filterless, so you don't have to get a filter subscription. You just buy them and use them. They're great. I've been in hotels that used them, even as I've taken them with me. They're small. You can plug it in with a USB cord. You can plug it directly into the wall, and they just work. They eliminate odors. EdenPureDeals.com. Eden like the Garden of Eden, pure as the driven snow. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code ERIC3, ERICK3, the number 3, not the word 3, ERIC3 at EdenPureDeals.com. Get three Eden Pure Thunderstorms for less than $200 and save $200.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Hello, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Oh, Billy, I want this question. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. I'll make it quick. I just was curious. Biden's second debate. Do you think he'll go through with it, or will he cancel it? What would be the consequences if he canceled it or went through with it?
If he were smart, he would figure out a way to go through it and prove that he's competent. But I don't know that he can do that. I don't know that he can. But I think he's got to try, if he's the nominee by the time it rolls around in September, he can't walk away from it. And you know what's so funny is the Democratic spin right now is that, oh, Donald Trump's not going to want to debate Joe Biden a second time because Biden's performance wasn't good and he's going to come back and look awesome and he's going to recover. I think that's wishful thinking from the Democrats right now, and that Biden, if he could, like, pray for an EMP pulse to take out electronics in the United States so no one could watch that second debate, I think he would probably do it. it's just, y'all, it's bad. That which cannot continue shall not continue. That is Richard Nixon's economist, James Carville, quoted him. Carville has had quite a number of I told you so days on TV, including he did an interview with Jake Tapper on CNN, and, well, it went about exactly as you might think.
That's the real question here. The real question here is we have a Supreme Court that's bought and paid for by RVs and fishing lodges. We have a country that 72% wants something different. If the Democratic Party can't produce something different that 72% of people want, then why do we exist? What are we here for? I mean, the country is clamoring for change. And what are we going to offer them? The same stuff? It doesn't make any sense, Jake.
It doesn't. James is right. He's right. And if they perceive Trump as malleable enough to give him some change and they like the direction of the country under Trump, well, they're going to go with him. Carville wants to stop Donald Trump, but Joe Biden is in the way. It's just not going well for them. And, you know, Tapper, for his credit, had enough.
In an attempt to reassure voters about his fitness for office, Biden campaign chair Jen O'Malley Dillon holding a call with party leaders earlier today, telling them this too shall pass. There is a pattern, discernible pattern, of Democratic officials seemingly trying to convince you, the public, to not believe what you saw and what you heard with your eyes and with your ears on Thursday night.
What I've been able to do with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare, the total initiative.
Oh, that's Jake Tapper. Wow. Not good for the Democrats. Y'all, Omaha Steaks has something good for you. Joe Biden won't remember to go to omahasteaks.com, but you can because it's the summer grilling season. As we get to the 4th of July and thereafter, you're going to be grilling a lot. Omaha Steaks right now, you can get a great grill out package for $99. And at checkout, use my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, as your promo code. Get an extra $10 off, omahasteaks.com. You want omahasteaks.com. I assure you, you do. Their steaks are fantastic, great quality. They've got chicken. They've got pork. They've got burgers. They've got hot dogs. They've got the caramel apple tartlets that my wife loves, individually handmade and frozen. You pop them in the oven, it's a mini apple pie for you and a scoop of ice cream like she likes. She likes them. She really likes them. I love the bacon-wrapped fillets. Go to omahasteaks.com today. Summer grilling season's here. Get a great grilling package for $99. Use my name as promo code at checkout. You get an extra $10 off all of this at omahasteaks.com with the 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy, they're going to make you happy because they want you to be a repeat orderer from Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com today. Use Eric as your promo code at checkout.